Our study at this time begins in the 6th chapter of Joshua. We're ready to start with the first verse. In this chapter, we have the account of the actual capture of the city of Jericho itself. And we see from reading the first verse that these people who dwelt in Jericho and roundabout were fortified. They were ready to oppose the attack of the children of Israel. Verse 1, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. So we see from this verse they had done all to their satisfaction of protecting themselves and fortifying themselves against this invasion by the children of Israel. And no doubt they felt that these walls of Jericho, which were a mighty wall, some 30 feet high, would be adequate protection. And this gave them a security that normally would have been fair amount of security. Normally, they, against an ordinary army, would have been able to have put up a real good resistance. However, we see that the mind of God was not the same as the mind of man here, and God's plan was quite different than what the people of Jericho had in mind. He wanted these Israelites to capture this city. He wanted them to conquer it, and it was going to be done in a fairly short time. So in verse 2, and the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. So he encourages Joshua to know that this city, although it's shut up, although none are coming and going, there is no communication, nobody's asking for peace, nobody's asking for any kind of a settlement, he's telling Joshua that I've given it into thine hand. You're going to have the king, you're going to have all the army, the mighty men of valor, the city is going to be yours. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once, thus shalt thou do 6 days. So he tells Joshua now, beginning in this third verse, the particulars of how they're going to go about conquering the city the way that God wants them to do it. Now, God chooses a way here that is not the way that man would choose. It is not the way that would ordinarily be successful, but he wants them to carry out his command specifically because this is the way of God, and this is the way that's going to be for success. There are times in which we have God give us commands. We read of his commands in the Bible, and we do not fully understand every reason for each little particular that we are to do. But nevertheless, once the command is given and it's a clear-cut command, positive, that we are to do it, then we're to obey and then let God's will work according to his plan. So this command that God gives Joshua is not what the ordinary captain of a military force would be doing. But nevertheless, we're going to see that it will get success for God's people. So he begins to tell Joshua, you shall compass the city, all you men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. So in each of 6 days, they're to parade around this city. And he further tells him in verse 4, and 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. Verse 5, and it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. So he's explaining to Joshua precisely what they're going to be doing. The men, the mighty men of valor, that is the soldiers, they're going to lead this entourage around the city. And then we're going to have the 7 priests that are bearing the ark, or rather bearing before the ark, 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And then we have the ark coming. These trumpets that they would blow were not the silver or gold type trumpets that were used in their daily service. These were trumpets made out of ram's horn, and they were rather crude type trumpets, and they gave a sound that was not the most pleasant, delicate musical sound. But this was the way God wanted it done. This would serve the purpose that God wanted to perform here, and so this is the way they would do it. And then they did this each day for 6 days, and then on the seventh day, they would go around the city seven times, and they would blow with the trumpets, and then when they made this long blast with the ram's horn, then all the people would shout with a great shout, and the walls would fall down. Verse 6, And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, Take up the ark of the covenant, and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horn before the ark of the Lord. Now we see here it was the duty ordinarily of carrying this ark of the covenant was for the Levites. But in this particular case we had the priest involved. This is an important work of God. And this ark of the covenant is actually a symbol of the very presence of God in the midst of this people. And so the Ark of the Covenant is the center of activity. It is actually carried by priests upon this occasion, and is preceded then by seven priests that bear the seven trumpets of ram's horn, and they're going to blow on these trumpets, of course, as they go around the walls. And he said unto the people, Pass on, and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the Ark of the Lord. So this army that went around the city was composed of the armed men going first, the seven priests with the seven trumpets next, the Ark of the Covenant next. Then there would be a rear guard that came up, and it seemed that this rear guard might have been composed of people in general rather than the actual armed soldiers themselves. Verse 8, And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord, and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. So here we have them carrying out this command of God and this instruction of Joshua. They're going around the walls once a day for 6 days, that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns are blowing on the trumpets as they go around, and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord is following them. Verse 9, And the armed men went before the priest that blew with the trumpets, and the rear ward, or the rear guard, came after the Ark, the priest going on and blowing with the trumpets. So we see here each group of people having a specific job to do. The armed men, the actual soldiers themselves are leading this group. The priests come next with the trumpets. The Ark of the Covenant being borne by other priests comes next, and then this rear guard comes up, and this is the group that goes around the walls. How many people it involved, it's hard to say, but it seemed to have involved most of the camp. Because it seems from the wording here that the people in general are the ones that are going to do the shouting when it's time for the walls to fall. Verse 10, And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, Ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, nor any word proceed out of your mouth, until the day I bid you shout, then shall ye shout. So there was going to come a time for them to participate in this by shouting, but they were not to make any noise, no word come out of their mouth, until the time came for the shouting. There would be silence on the part of the people, and the noise then would be the blowing of the trumpets made of ram's horns. Verse 11, So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. So each night, here he talks about the first night, this ark would go around the city with all this group of people like he describes. Then at night they would go into the camp and lodge in the camp. Now it seems that the walls of the city of Jericho encompassed about a 7-acre area. And so it wouldn't be all that great of a chore to just walk around the walls. However, we do not know how much distance they kept between themselves and the walls. They probably were far enough away that the people of Jericho couldn't shoot them with arrows or throw stones at them or inflict any kind of harm on them. So by the time they got all this group together and marched exactly the way they were supposed to do, It probably took up several hours of the day. So verse 12, after they'd come in from the first day's march, and Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord, and seven priests, bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord, went on continually and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them, but the rear ward came after the ark of the Lord, the priest going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the second day they compassed the city once and returned into the camp. So they did 6 days. So we see that each day they did the same thing for 6 days. They rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord, and they went about their duty. Verse 15, and it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. Now they had done this for 6 days. Here the seventh day they did the same thing, except they went around it 7 times on this seventh day. And we know that during this period of time there was a Sabbath day involved. Some of the Jewish writers seem to think that this seventh day was the Sabbath day, but we don't really have true evidence of that. And you may wonder, well, what about the fact that they weren't strictly observing the Sabbath? Well, this work here of going around the walls of the city of Jericho, this is the work of God. This is the work of the priests. And so this would not be considered to be secular work. This is work strictly in service to God, in worship, and in carrying out of the will of God. So whatever they did on this occasion would not be counted certainly as a violation of the Sabbath day. So on this seventh day they compassed it 7 times. And it came to pass at the seventh time, when the priest blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. Now we stop and look at this. We see that this is truly an act that involves a lot of faith. They walked around this wall now 6 times on consecutive days, and then here they do it on a seventh day for 7 times. It's 13 times they've been around this wall. Nothing has happened. No sign of any kind of victory, no sign of any capitulation on the part of the city. And so it would certainly look like that up to now nothing had been accomplished at all. That no good, no progress had been made. And it would look in the minds of most of the people as though, well, you know, we're just out here doing nothing. And when you look at it from the standpoint of those residents of the city of Jericho, they must have been gaining more confidence by the day, even by the hour. Well, look at this people. They're marching around the city, then they go back to the camp. They come march the next day and go back to the camp. They're blowing on those ram's horns. Nobody's doing anything. They're not even approaching our walls. They're not firing any kind of missile or weapon at us. They're not making any effort whatsoever to break down the gate of the city. No attack. They just march around and then they go back to their camp. And here on this seventh day, they've marched around 7 times. And so they probably were saying, well, where is all this power that this army has? Who's to be afraid of these people? What can they do to hurt? They seem to be powerless. And at the very time when they were saying peace and safety, this is the time when sudden destruction, swift destruction, is going to come upon them. So we see then, if we're not thinking the way God is thinking, if we do not know what the will of God is, what the plan of God is, how very much out of tune, out of step we can be with what God has in plan to be brought about. So it came to pass at the seventh time then, when the priest blew with the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. Verse 17, And the city shall be accursed, even it, and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And of course we studied the story of Rahab the harlot earlier. Verse 18, And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed. When ye take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse, and trouble it. Now, he's telling them that whenever they capture this city, they're not to take any of the possessions of the city for themselves. They're to keep themselves from it. This is an accursed thing. And we're going to see in the next chapter where there was a sin committed on this in this regard by Achan. And consequently, God seemed to be warning and even foreseeing that this could happen. This city was really the first fruits of their conquering of the land of Canaan. All the goods that were to be kept for this city were to go to the Lord and for the glory and benefit of the Lord. These people were not to take them for their own benefit. They were not to eat of the food here. They were not to take anything for themselves, but this city was to be sacrificed. The animals would be sacrificed along with the people, the inhabitants. And everything there in the way of personal possessions was to be considered as an accursed thing, and they were not to keep any of it for themselves. Verse 19, but all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So no individual was to keep any of these things or to have them as a possession. They were accursed so far as that went, but yet they were to go into the treasury of the Lord and be used for the glory and work of the Lord himself. Verse 20. So the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell flat, so that the people went up into the city, and every man straight before him, and they took the city. Now, we see then everyone being able to participate in this one way or another. The armed men went before, the priest blowing the trumpet, and the priest also bearing the Ark of the Covenant, and then this rear guard coming up from behind. And after they had blown this trumpet very loudly, and the time came for the shouting, then the people shouted. And their shouting seemed to have also been a means that God used to signal and to bring about the falling of the walls. So it said that the wall fell flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. We can see then a very great change in the attitude of those who are in the city of Jericho now. This great falling of the walls no doubt killed many people, maybe hundreds of people. They were using these walls as their protection, but no longer would they be protected. This would cause them to lose courage, to faint, to grow timid and afraid. And then, of course, on the other hand, this gave the people of God a lot more courage, a lot more will, because they saw now that they were truly getting fantastic, positive results as a result of what they were doing here. Verse 21, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox, and sheep, and ass, with the edge of the sword. So everyone was destroyed in this city. It was God's will for this to happen. This was a holy warfare on the part of God's people. It was something that God had directed them to do, and unless we should have a positive direction given by God, it would not be right for us to do this under any circumstance. Now we see that in the Christian age, we are very definitely under a positive command that our warfare is not of this nature. In 2 Corinthians 10, beginning with the third verse, Paul says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." So, during this age, this Christian age, we do not engage in this kind of warfare. We do not have any divine and positive direction from God to go about engaging in carnal warfare of this nature. But during the time that we're reading here in Joshua chapter 6, this was a righteous thing. This was a thing that God had definitely directed the people to do, and they did. Now, these walls of Jericho were mighty walls. They were some 30 feet high. They had houses built between them. There were actually two walls with houses built between them. And the fall of them must have been a very mighty fall. It must have been an awesome sight to have been able to have viewed this. But they did fall. This was strictly the power of God, a great miracle of God, giving his people the victory. And when they fell, then the people invaded the city. They destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox, and sheep, and ass, with the edge of the sword. They massacred the inhabitants of this city. They didn't take any of the possessions for themselves. They did not count this as the spoils of war. However, they did take the silver, gold, and vessels of brass and iron, and they put those into the treasury of the Lord. They consecrated those to the Lord. And actually, this city then was looked upon as being the first fruits of their invasion of Canaan. And of course, the first fruits go to God, and it did not go to the individual people. So this is a tremendous story of the capture and destruction of the city of Jericho. And it will continue with this next verse, but we see that we're now out of time, so we're going to close at that point. And until next time, this is Dr. N.C. Crouch saying goodbye, friends.